This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You're on with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast, and we're trying to set things together. Now, we mentioned this briefly on After the PowerCast last week, which is our premium show for PowerCast Plus. And that is our guest, Preston Dennett, really put together an incredible amount of research over the past 30 years or so. But like a lot of people in this field, he makes assumptions. So, of course, the first assumption about people interested in UFOs is that they must be ET believers. If you're interested in UFOs, you're an ET believer. You have to believe in ET. You're an ET fan. You're an ET follower. We're all into ET. And
ET.
Thank you, sir. There will never be a sequel to E.T., of course. You know, E.T. originally was supposed to be a much darker movie.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I know it was. It was supposed to be really dark, and he kind of got persuaded not to do it. But still, that creature, all you'd have to do is give it one swift karate chop in the neck, and it's all over.
Yes, but it has powers. It has superpowers.
Yeah, right.
You know, they could make an E.T. show for the CW or something.
There you go. Well, you know, Preston is a really sweet guy. I remember meeting him now. He mentioned we met at the University of Wyoming Cheyenne Conference with Leo Sprinkle, where I came off the podium and found out one of my best friends was dying of cancer. I'll never forget that day. But Preston's a really super nice guy. He just exudes niceness. And it's impossible not to like somebody like him. He's very up to speed. But I'll tell you, you could scrape the naivety off him, like, with a butter knife. I don't know. For someone who has been around in this field as long as he has, to maintain that soft and cuddly opinion and perspective, you know, you got to hand it to him. It's actually kind of impressive.
If only I could be soft and cuddly about UFOs or about the subject.
You cuddly?
I guess my wife must think so, although I haven't asked her lately.
Yeah, is that before or after you have to break the TV because it's super glued on Fox News?
Okay, now understand we're not a political show, but as soon as you get into a subject of UFOs and government secrecy, it becomes political, of course. So as our listeners know, and we're on the GCN network, and of course our major show here on GCN is Alex Jones, so it fits.
Oh, excuse me.
I have a feeling that cough was deliberate. In any case, she watches Fox News from 6:30 in the morning till, I don't know, 6:30 at night, 12 hours.
Go out and get a job. Do something. Get out of bed.
I think we're listening to Chris and his sarcasm getting the better of him. Barbara Steinberg, by the way, is a very devoted animal rights advocate. And you can find her on Facebook if you're interested. So look for Barbara Steinberg on Facebook and see what she has to say. Let's move on.
That's fine. Sorry.
Anyway, getting back to this crazy field, how do you investigate UFOs and the first letter U is for unidentified if you think you've identified them already? Because if you do, then you'd never go any further. Okay, we now know they're spaceships, and we now know, of course, that we have all these planets that seem to have the potential for life. But I have another question. Even though the Kepler telescope and the Hubble gave us evidence of exoplanets, we still haven't received anything from SETI last I checked. Maybe there was one case where they thought they had something, but it didn't turn out to be anything.
Wow.
Wow. We don't have any evidence of extraterrestrial life. Not one iota. No radio signals. Nothing. It doesn't mean that we're alone in the universe. It may be we're looking at the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong frequencies. I don't know. But I would think that after we are broadcasting everything from I Love Lucy to War of the Worlds for decades upon decades, you know.
Well, they've barely made
Judge it Judy,
that.
Listen to this now. What would they think of our planet that the number one syndicated daytime TV show is Judge Judy?
Well, Gene, I mean, let's get real. Those original broadcasts from Nazi Germany and the original radio shows from the 20s and 30s, they've barely gotten past the first few stars.
Exactly. But then again, if we have civilizations out there that are older than us, wouldn't we have some evidence of their presence? Don't they leave some footprint? A digital footprint? Something?
Last week, Fermi's paradox, man.
I know you mentioned that.
Yeah, you would think. What can you say? People have a need to believe. Obviously, it verges on some almost religious compulsion, abdicating responsibility for your own, existence and your own just sense of individuality, I guess, and going for that religious. I need something bigger than me to believe in to make my life feel like it has meaning. And it's sad. It's very sad. But what can you do? You know, the human inclination, I think people's, the average person's inclination is to abdicate control in their lives and worship something bigger than themselves. And because our outmoded religious structures and control systems that we've devised for ourselves over the past, couple thousand years, they're breaking down. People see the absurdity of fighting each other and killing each other over, my God's better than your God. And so people are yearning and looking outwards for something else. And UFOs and ETs and Ascended Masters and Benevolent Space Brothers and Stephen Greer have much more of an appeal, I think, than pre-medieval monotheistic, patronistic belief systems. And I'm off my soapbox.
Okay, so now we have the religious argument. But the point being here is that if you accept that the UFO mystery has been solved, you're abdicating your responsibility to think about the possibilities.
Well, it's a look like a duck, sounds like a duck argument, which to me is very thin and does not wash. And someone like a Preston Dennett, I think, should know better. I think he should be a lot more, neutral. And, he shouldn't have had his mind made up to the extent that he does. Anybody in this field who's been in the field for 25 years, almost 30 years, needs to be a lot more objective.
Now, even in his final days, although we presume that Dr. J. Allen Hynek believed in the ET explanation, he began to feel there was a lot more to it than that. Definitely.
Yeah.
I can attest to that because I sat there and had dinner with him one day. And we talked about it after I had interviewed him. I wish I had a recording of that interview. I've moved about 40 times since then, and I don't. That really would have been something historical. Maybe I'll find something. Maybe there's some cassette tape sitting here somewhere, and I'll locate it and I'll have it. In the meantime, we've got somebody here who's been around for a number of years, and he's somebody who can be very hard-nosed about things, very skeptical about things, although he does accept Roswell, and he does accept the possibility that UFOs are spacecraft. But he takes a really, really straight-ahead viewpoint, and that's Kevin D. Randall. And he's been on the PowerCast before, and we always welcome him back because he's somebody who, as I said, tries to approach the subject realistically. He also has a blog out there you ought to check out called A Different Perspective at kevinrandall.blogspot.com. Okay? Check that out. In fact, as we do our break, bring it up on your browser as you're listening to this if you're in a position to do that. In any case, sit back, relax, and enjoy Kevin Randall is coming with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Beccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I was thinking here that over the years that we interviewed someone who's not here today, but somebody who's been a frequent guest on the show, Nick Redfern, I have asked him, don't you have Skype? And he can never get Skype to work on his computer. I keep trying. So our guest today, Kevin Randall, who has talked to us on the same phone number for the past 10 years, It's amazing that he has that same phone number with the way things change. I've had this phone number that I'm using, by the way, my phone number for 25 years, but that's another story. I'm old as the hills. But with Kevin Randall, he's on with Skype. You really made an investment on this, my friend.
I have been Skyping for quite a while. I don't know why we have not done Skype before.
I thought I had asked you at one time.
And you may have, and at that time I may not have been. But I was forced onto Skype by everybody else. Every time I'd do a radio interview, they'd say, "Don't you have Skype?" Because it sounds so much better. And so I said, okay. So I have Skype.
Well, now I'm going to assign you to contact Nick Redfern and fix his Skype problem.
Has he tried to Skype with you and it just doesn't work? Or
it doesn't launch properly. It crashes, something like that. It just doesn't do the thing.
Well, I think he might have an ancient computer, and that's part of the problem.
I was going to say, that sounds like a computer problem to me.
Well, I figured Microsoft should work with PCs, since Microsoft owns Skype and Windows, but it doesn't work. I've had a few people who run into problems with Skype, and we do occasionally, too. Like, I think in last week's episode, we had Preston Dennett. You know him?
I don't believe so.
Okay. He's a writer from out in California, who's been around for a while, written a lot of books about UFO sightings. And he and Chris are talking. But Skype disconnects for me and logs off. But I'm still recording the show. I'm still hearing these two talk, but they can't hear me. It must be Skype didn't like the way I sounded.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think it's a government conspiracy.
Okay, it Hillary Clinton did it. Everything else is blamed on Hillary Clinton. Speaking of which, I wanted to ask you here, and maybe you've written a comment about this. I know that our friend, Mr. O'Brien, does not like Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter whether you like her or hate her. She has certainly been forthright in asserting that she's going to try to get information about UFOs if she becomes president. And we've had empty promises from presidential candidates over the years.
What makes you think her promises has any sort of depth to it at all?
In fact, that's the question I was going to ask, Kevin.
I don't know why she would pander to the UFO crowd. Clearly, her husband had said many, many times he was going to get to the bottom of the UFO phenomenon, and he didn't bother to do it, or didn't do it, or couldn't do it, or something. Podesta. He worked for Bill, and he was going to do something, and he's been in and out of UFOs for quite a while, meaning the phenomenon, not that he boarded the craft or anything. And he hasn't done anything. David Kucinich had made some kind of comment like that.
That was Dennis Kucinich.
What did I say? David?
David, yeah.
Dennis, I can't say it at all now.
Well, you know what? People don't even remember him anymore. He's that obscure.
Well, no, he got outed by Shirley MacLaine. He was totally backpedaling and having to post responses to Shirley MacLaine.
My point was simply that Kucinich had said something about UFOs and he was going to do this, and the media just came down on him for even suggesting that. And now Hillary says it, and the New York Times is saying, well, wow, that's great. Let's get to the bottom of this. She's not going to have any more success than anybody else has. Why would her presidency, if she gets elected, be able to get to full disclosure when nobody else could do it? What does she bring to the table that all those others didn't bring to the table?
Well, remember the first question that was asked of her, this would have been three or so months ago, you know, what she was going to do about UFOs and stuff. And she said, oh, well, we'll get to the bottom of Area 54 in New Mexico. Do you remember that?
Yes, and that was right on target, because we all know that Area 54 is in New Mexico, but it has no relevance to anything ufological. That was my joke there, seeing that there's an Area 54 in New Mexico that's...
I just found that very telling. I'm not sure what direction to take it, but it spoke volumes. Let's put it
I would think that almost anybody in the country would be aware of Area 51, just because of the news media gets into it once in a while, and there's been a lot of discussion about it. A number of years ago, Russ Estes and I had a conversation. This would be 91, 92, something like that. And he said to me at that time, if you went up and asked 10 people, what do you associate with Roswell, you'd probably get 10 different answers and maybe not anything related to the crash. We have now come to the point where it has become such a part of our cultural mythology that you see it in all kinds of stuff. You understand that Roswell is associated with UFOs. Jeopardy even had a question about that one time a couple of years ago about Roswell and UFOs. So it made its way into the consciousness of the country, and I would think Area 51 has done the same thing. So the fact that she blew it with Area 54 in New Mexico suggests that she's somehow outside a lot of the mainstream American conscious.
Well, you know, people do misspeak. One time Obama, during the 2008 campaign, referred to 57 states, and they really ragged on him for it. Fact of the matter, this guy is out on the road 7 days a week for, who knows, 16-hour days, 20-hour days. And you get dog-tired and you say stupid things. And whatever we think about Hillary Clinton, even if she is crooked Hillary, as Donald Trump says, well, you know, she's not stupid.
I think that's a good point, that we all misspeak at times. We get tripped up in our own syntax. We get tripped up in trying to access all these random bits of information in our brains, and we sometimes just put two bits together that don't go. And we really shouldn't condemn people for making those sorts of mistakes. The news media is just loves to jump on somebody for doing something like that. When, I mean, everybody knows there's 52 states. That was another joke, guys.
Actually, it was 67. I was thinking here that the reason he said 57 is he was eating something like French fries with Heinz ketchup. And that's where he got the 57 from.
Or maybe John Kerry scared him.
Oh, that's it right there. Let's move on to something
here.
So the point being here is that maybe she's sincere about this because there is no upside to getting the UFO vote. I don't think. Or maybe she tried to sound more outlandish than Donald Trump, but that's pretty difficult. That's another thing, too. Trump has not said anything about that. You'd think that his tweet machine would be going full time about crooked Hillary being a wacky UFO or ET believer, but he's not done it. He hasn't said anything yet.
I think he's getting enough press with what he does says he doesn't need to explore that arena at all. There was something on the internet today about a woman who had just passed away, and she'd made some comment that she just couldn't stand to vote for either one of them, and this was her way out. It was in her obituary, which was kind of funny. They didn't want to, afraid that you were going to have to vote for Hillary or Donald, and didn't want to vote for either one, and I understand her dilemma.
Before we discuss more dilemmas, let's do our break with Kevin D. Randall. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
Well, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Kevin D. Randall, but let me tell you about the second radio show that we do. The thing that we do is called After the Paracast. And the only way you can hear it is to join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have other features which we'll go into later, but just check it out. Check out the offer, the low subscription rates, plus.theparacast.com. We're getting updated with Kevin D. Randall, and we were talking about Hillary Clinton and her promise to get to the bottom of the UFO enigma by seeing what the government knows, if they know anything. We expect nothing to come from it. But, Kevin, do you think, obviously in light of Roswell, that the government has a lot of stuff about UFOs?
I vacillate on that question. I know if you look at the Project Blue Book files, you can see that the investigation was just riddled with incompetence or a lack of desire to learn anything at all. They miss obvious bets. They throw out ridiculous explanations. But that seems to be more of a public relations ploy than anything else. Let's get the public not talking about UFOs because we can solve everything that comes in. I'm not sure that there is a whole lot to be uncovered. So it may be that there aren't hiding anything. The other side of the coin is they have no motivation to disclose what they have. Why should they? If they have an alien spacecraft, if they've been attempting to reverse engineer it, if they have a lot of additional information, what is their motivation for revealing any of it? There's nothing good that can come from it. So I think they'll if there's anything to hide, they'll just be, continue to sit on it. And Hillary won't get any more answers than Bill did or any of the others who attempted to do that.
You know that they have to have quite a bit of gun camera footage, let's say, radar returns, instrumented, I think, data. But just because you know more doesn't mean that you have figured anything out. I think that they know a lot more than we do in terms of having the data. That's why they're that much more confused than the average person is about it. So the government's job is to always say they know and they're in control, and they don't know and they're not in control, and so they're not going to admit that.
So they're actually demotivated from releasing anything.
Well, remember, yeah, too, the President of the United States does not have a need to know.
If I'm the President of the United States, I can find out anything that I want to know. If you're in a governmental agency and I ask you a question and you tell me you have no need to know, my next response to him is, you're fired. Get your deputy in here and I'll chat with him.
Yeah, but what if it's all in the private sector, all the juicy stuff?
Yeah, but it had to come from the government. The government has to know what's going on. If there's UFO visitation, they have to have much more information than the private sector. And there's absolutely no way you can hide that from the president. If I'm the president, I'm not going to put up with this crap you have no need to know. You may lie to me, and I may be convinced by your lies that there's nothing there, which is a whole different argument. But if I ask you a specific question and you tell me I have no need to know, the next words out of my mouth are, you're fired.
You have a need to go.
Yeah, there you go. You have a need to go. And if I'm Donald Trump, I've got a lot of practice telling people they're fired.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Right. But the thing is here, is it also possible that certain intelligence people come to the president and explain why they can't reveal this, and they read them in the Riot Act showing the consequences?
And that may be convincing to the president. So it's not really saying, you have no need to know. Here is why we're keeping this under wraps. And the president may then say, that's a very good reason. Thank you very much for your honesty, and we'll move on to a different arena now.
But in this case, we have Bill Clinton, who promised to look into it, and supposedly he was given some information. He would have been given the Riot Act, we assume. And therefore, he would know. And that takes us back to Hillary. So wouldn't he say to her, you know, maybe you shouldn't look into this?
Or maybe he already told her. I don't know how much classified information he may have shared with her while he was president. You know, what did they talk about in their private quarters in the White House?
Well, with Bill, we might be thinking that whenever he was in the private quarters, it wasn't with Hillary.
That's also true.
Well, the only thing he would be saying is, come on, bring her to bed. The three of us can have a great time.
Who cares what the president does? Because if you go through, even Nixon had someone on the side, I had heard once, which some people think.
Who the hell would it have been? If I was female, I would want nothing to do with Tricky Dick.
No, J. Edgar Hoover in drag.
Oh, well, that's a whole different argument. I look at the whole thing, and I'm thinking, you know, if we really want to motivate disclosure, there's nothing to get the government to talk to us. The only way the situation will change is if the aliens showed up and said, yeah, here we are. And then the government, the president, or whoever would say, yeah, we've been expecting you for the last 70 years.
Okay, so if Roswell involved a crashed spaceship and we recovered it and we recovered possible dead alien bodies, that's closing in on 69 years ago. All right. What have we learned from it? Is there any evidence anywhere in our society that we learned one darn thing from that?
No. But if you would ask me why not, I would say it's probably akin to a modern time traveler going back to Merlin the Magician with a VCR, and I say VCR because it's a much better image, a power pack and a TV set. And you show Merlin this black ribbon, and if you know how to access it, you get pictures and sound from it. But to do that, you have to understand two things that are invisible, electricity and magnetism. And so I would think that if they've had access to a government space, or the government, to an alien spacecraft for 69 years, that they have not been able to figure out the codes, how to make the things work, what information be derived from it. If I was to guess, I would say maybe some of our stealth technology was developed from that based on the materials used in the construction of the spacecraft. But I don't know. That's just mere speculation on my part. And it seems to me it would be the easiest thing to understand. Well, here's this material that doesn't look like it's metal, and it turns out to be some kind of a composite that is very lightweight and is more durable than metal, and also shields them a little bit from radar. But I don't know that. I have seen nothing in the society that suggests anything, if it was recovered from Roswell, is migrated into our technology. That if we have that, we're still trying to figure it out.
So the general assumption here is that maybe the late Colonel Corso was not playing the bagman for some Roswell technology.
You mean the late Lieutenant Colonel Corso?
Okay.
The man who couldn't even get his own rank right.
Ouch.
Well, but, you know, I look at it from the point of a military officer, and I understand these sorts of things. I mean, if you enter the military as a second lieutenant, unless you are really a dunce, you're going to get promoted to first lieutenant. And if you're really a dunce, you're still, you're still going to get promoted to captain. But there's a step between the company grade to the field grade, which is major on up. There's a larger step there. But most of the people who will make captain are going to make major. And there's a slight step to lieutenant colonel. Then there's a big step to colonel. And that, because that's the doorstep to general officer. So Corso had to understand that. And he knew that he had not been promoted to colonel in any way, shape, or form. There's no evidence to do that. And when he was asked about that on his book, what he should have said is that was a mistake the publisher made, because lieutenant colonels are referred to as colonel frequently. And he just should have said the publisher made that mistake. That wasn't my mistake. And everybody would have been, oh, okay, I got that. When I published my first UFO book, the UFO case book, back in 1989, it said on the front cover, Captain U.S. Air Force retired. And everybody said, well, you're not old enough to be retired from the Air Force. And the joke was, actually, I was, because I would have had 20 years. And I joined the Army when I was 18, so I'd have had 20 years in by that point. But the publisher misread, signing my name USAFR for reserve. He thought that meant retired.
Before the sponsors retire us.
Okay.
Let's do our break. We have Kevin D. Randall and Gene and Chris. Meaning that you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so I know nothing of military ranks, having not been in the military. So the point being here is that Lieutenant Colonel Corso should have corrected the designation of Colonel. On the other hand, when his book came out, he was ill. And maybe he wasn't paying attention?
No, he was saying he was promoted to Colonel when he retired. And he said, because that happens frequently. Well, it doesn't happen frequently. That's another argument. He carried on with the lie. He said, yeah, I was promoted on retirement. That's not true. So he did know. He understood that. He still went with the idea he was a colonel. My point was, if he'd have said, that was a mistake made by the publisher, I retired as lieutenant colonel, everybody would have been happy. But now this is just one more problem with Corso's story about his involvement with the Roswell case and seeing alien bodies and all the other nonsense he came up with.
Okay, so he just made up this for what reason? To have money left when he died so his family would do well? I mean, I guess a lieutenant colonel doesn't make a big salary.
It's not that. The salary is designated by the government and the steps are designated. And when you are promoted from lieutenant colonel to colonel, there's not a big jump in the salary. It's actually a prestige thing. Because there is a big jump in prestige from being a lieutenant colonel to a colonel. So, you know, that was my only thought. He wanted the prestige of being a full colonel when there's all of us lieutenant colonels running around out there. Heck, I retired as lieutenant colonel. That's no big deal. But Corso wanted to be a colonel, and it thought it brought him more prestige. And then in the end, it hurt his overall story and his overall claims.
Yeah, well, it didn't take much to hurt his claims, but that is, I think, Kevin, I think you brought up a very telling sort of ego, possibly related issue there that may also explain why he even came up with the whole the After Roswell book to begin with. That's not even getting into the whole Bill Burns involvement, of course, co-writing.
Corso was trying to sell a book called I Walked with Giants, and he had a proposal, and he was out there, and he got Strom Thurmond to write an introduction based on that proposal. And I think that he shopped it around to various publishers, and they said, yeah, we don't really care. And there was a small portion that mentioned the Roswell case or something about that, and they said, well, this is interesting. What can you do with that? And so he went off the rails on that. My first article on UFOs I published, I had written an article that dealt with just general UFO sightings. And the magazine rejected it and said, but the three paragraphs on page 7 interested us. So I went back and looked at the three paragraphs, and what they wanted was information on physical evidence, physical traces. So I called my good friend Carl Lorenzen and asked for some information and did some research, and I got a whole bunch of cases that dealt with physical evidence and resubmitted the magazine. And they said, yeah, we like this, but there's too much old stuff. We would like some new stuff in there. So I redid the whole thing like that and made reference to some of the older cases. And the final go-around, they said, yeah, we like that, but we need more information on the old stuff. So I put in all the stuff I'd taken. So it ended up a longer article, but it had new stuff and old stuff in it. But it was driven not by what I wanted to write, but what the publisher said they were going to buy. And if I would do these things, they would send me money for it. So I was driven by that. And I think Corso was the same way, that if he did this, this, and this, they would be interested in the book. So he did that. And I think that was the genesis of the book.
Then they got a hack writer by the name of William Burns to help make it better.
I think the problem there is most people think they can write and they really can't. And so you need someone. I mean, if I go come to you and I pretend to be an artist and I say I can't draw a straight line, you can prove that I can't do art. I can't draw. I can't paint. That sort of thing. I may think I can be a great writer, and there's really nothing there that tells me that, but if I can't draw, I pretty well know that. And I think that one of the problems is Corso thought it's not that big a deal to put everything down on paper and let's run with it. And I think that the publisher said, this isn't working, and we have this other guy, and we'd like him to sit down with you and kind of massage your manuscript. And that was the genesis of the Bill Burns, Philip Corso thing.
Now, OpenMinds.tv supposedly has the original unadulterated manuscript. So just for those who want to check it out.
I have actually a copy of the proposal that they had sent around after Burns was brought into it.
Yeah, but he had an actual manuscript that John Rao and the crew over there, I think they published it in a limited edition publishing run.
Well, the thing that I remember about the proposal is Corso claimed to be a member of MJ-12.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Yeah. He also claimed to be, was it the Joint Chiefs or National Security Council?
Yeah, and that's sort of an iffy thing, that he may have been served on the staff of somebody who was a primary member or something like that, or he was a member of some subcommittee that was associated with that. I often tell people I studied astronomy under James A. Van Allen, which is the truth, but it's not exactly the whole truth and nothing but the truth. When I studied astronomy at the University of Iowa, and when I say study, I took it as one of the core requirements for science credit. Van Allen was the chairman of the department, but the instructor was a guy named John Neff, who we often described as Spock's idiot brother, because he would be writing on the chalkboard with one hand and erasing what he'd just written with the other hand as we went on. And Van Allen did come down and to actually chat with us once. So I did technically study astronomy under Van Allen, but it's not exactly the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I think Corso's claims to have been with the NSA is kind of the same thing.
Here we go. It's just more and more evidence that the guy had end-of-life worthiness issues, for lack of a better description. And he may have been motivated to try to create some sort of, historical footnote for himself.
I think that's absolutely correct.
I mean, the guy was obviously a good officer, up to his retirement. You know, he played the game. He kept his scandals to a minimum and moved up the chain of command. But I guess once you retire and you don't think you fulfilled your destiny or something, maybe that could be motivation to go out on a limb and try to create a nest egg for your family or whatever the motivations are. I've always felt that about Corso.
Well, I've always said I'm going to put on my uniform, head over to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and stand in front of the ATEC building and say, yeah, I just came in from inside and saw the little bodies. What's the big deal? You know?
Ooh, cool. And
can I take the picture?
Give you a secret hidden camera to help videotape it?
You can take the pictures for all I care. But I mean, I've seen that before. You know, we've got Lieutenant Colonel Robert French, who tells these marvelous stories of his involvement with Roswell and all that stuff. And you go back and you look at his record. He had a much better military career than either Corso or I.
Right.
He had received the Silver Star. He had received a couple of Distinguished Flying Crosses. He went up the chain of command fairly well. So he had a fairly distinguished career. And then he retired and went nuts.
Yeah.
Claiming all this stuff about Roswell, and he said that he'd worked with on Project Blue Book, and he said he wrote some of Blue Book, and I think if anybody was a member of the Project Blue Book staff, they'd pretty well know that it was the code name of the project and not an actual Blue Book. He said that he and a friend had invented a thing in the 1960s that would give you 50 miles to a gallon, but the oil companies suppressed it.
You know what? That's an old, old scam, though. I used to hear radio ads for devices like that.
And my point is, he made this claim. He made other claims as well that just simply did not. He said that he had three flying tours in Korea and seven in Vietnam. And you go back and look at his military record, and he did not become a fighter pilot until 1950, after 1954, when he went to flight school. So the Korean War had been ended. So what kind of flying assignments did he have in Korea, if he, in fact, served in Korea at that time? His record suggests he served with the Far Eastern Command, which was Korea. But on the Air Force side, a lot of those guys were based in Japan. It was considered part of it. It's kind of like the guys who were in Thailand and other places during the Vietnam War. They were assigned to Southeast Asia. So, French was telling those sorts of stories, and he had a distinguished career, but he had to embellish it for some reason. And the only reason I got involved was because he started spouting off about Roswell and saying things that were just preposterous.
He's not the first person who was supposedly a Roswell witness or heard about it, who invented stories. I know even recently, you've mentioned a couple of things over at a different perspective. We'll have more of this and the answer and a little bit later, some of your questions, listeners. In case you're wondering, we've received those questions from our forums at forum.thepowercast.com. Once again, that's forum.thepowercast.com to participate in discussions and ask questions of our guests. We've got Kevin D. Randall, who has written many, many books, fact and fiction, on a variety of subjects, including UFOs, and considered one of the preeminent researchers about Roswell. You have Gene and you have Chris, meaning you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to RichMoneyRich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to RichMoneyRich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to RichMoneyRich.com. That's RichMoneyRich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add NewHarvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.